So I have some ideas for how to come up with extra money.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Because
everybody wants extra money. And
I am the queen of the side hustle.
Let's talk side hustles.
Yeah.
That are not, like digging in the couch for change and stuff like that.
Well, I've done that too.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, where we focus on how authors found success, looking at strategies that have taken them to the top of the bestseller charts, as well as what they've learned from their mistakes. Because being an indie author is more than knowing the latest marketing trend. It's about being innovative and creative and learning from your mistakes.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. I'm Sarah Rosette.
And I'm Jamie Albright. And this week on the show,
we are talking about how to save money and where we splurge.
Mm-hmm.
We run our author businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. So this isn't something people talk about a whole lot. If you know anything about me, I started with no money to
you have
spend
some
them.
Great ways that a lot of people would be super excited about raise money.
No money to spend on my author business. And so, yeah. And if I'm real honest, I'm not back in that spot, but I don't have what I had when I was, in the middle of my publishing. So I'm mm-hmm. going to have to make some decisions and cut some corners and get creative now, mm-hmm. even. Let's.
Yeah, because this. The business you just go up and down.
It's not always
a
straight line,
going up to the mm-hmm. right of the chart. So hopefully this will give some ideas mm-hmm. and it was a listener requested topic. So I mm-hmm. thought it was pretty interesting. So
it's a great topic.
Yeah. So we'll dive into that in a minute. Do you have mm-hmm. any news, any personal updates?
I finished my epilogue for the novella. I've scheduled my promos. I don't know if I talked about that last week, but mm-hmm. I scheduled my promos for May 6th. I'm going to put out all the new covers plus the novella. And so I have something new in the mm-hmm. back. If a reader who's already read the novella wants to read it, to give them incentive, but mm-hmm. Really it's just all my books have an epilogue and that one didn't. So mm-hmm. I did that. It's not very long. It would have fallen into the 1 hour, 1.5 hour short reads, which is fine. With the epilogue, it'll probably kick it out of that, but not by much, because it's not a very, it's just an epilogue. So anyway, but I'm really excited because I finished something,
I was going to say, this is like the first thing you finished in a while, right? Not to be calling you out or anything, but it's a huge accomplishment,
it's
right?
It's a big deal. It's a big deal for me. And when I wrote the last line this morning, I just sort of bowed my head and put it in my hands because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. Now,
It's a relief, right?
It's a relief to get something written. It's only like 2,500 words. It took me days.
It's okay.
But you know what? It's a muscle. And if I don't do anything, then I'll get nothing. So, mm-hmm. And I've, said this before, you only fail if you quit. And I haven't quit yet.
That was a good first project for you because
it gave
you the ability to finish it and get that.
Yeah.
Excitement of being finished because a novel takes a long time.
Yeah.
So
It was good. So I'm excited to put them out. My newsletter's a little on the janky side right now. I got to get that fixed. Because I still don't have the DMARC on there it doesn't matter. I don't have it on there. I'm getting it on there.
Yeah.
But So then I'm going to start sending out the newsletter with the information and
you'll be rolling again.
Hopefully we'll get going again. How about you? What's going on?
Well, still, I'm so close to getting the first draft done of the book I've been working on. Mm. So, you know, inching along on that. Mm-hmm. And then we did some updates to the podcast art. Mm-hmm. And so that's out. And of course, that meant we had to update the website, the colors on the website, which I tried to do. And I had to get the website guy to do that. So I've been, you know, doing some things like that. And we're doing some scheduling interviews. So mm-hmm. a lot of podcast stuff. We have some really mm-hmm. great ones that I'm excited about coming
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And
some different ones, different kinds of things. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so and not a lot.
And, you know, who put me in charge of this? Me. I put myself in charge of it and failed. But if you send an email to our email address at any point since it's been up and I'm just now getting back to you, that's because I forgot we had an email. So,
and it's totally fine because I'm laughing because I didn't check it either. And you gave me the information.
Yeah. So thankfully now I think we've gotten Adriel on that email. So she will be handling a lot of it. But yeah. She will corral us if nothing else. Yeah. So anyway.
Wish I'd known them for writers at gmail.com, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So if you have suggestions for guests or if you want to pitch yourself as a mm-hmm. guest, let us know. If you're a listener, we would love to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Just let us know. And so let's see. I think that's like all the things we've got. Oh, I was going to mention that I saw a press release that Draft of Digital is now going to distribute to Fable, which mm-hmm. is a reading app mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. book groups. And I think that's pretty yeah. exciting. Yeah. Something different. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll maybe dig into that later when we know a little bit more about it.
Right. And the app Zori, I believe it's called Zori.
I don't know about that one.
It's okay. It's a choose your own adventure.
Oh, app. Fun.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It launched this week and I don't know a ton about it, but when we get more information, we can share it with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we have one new supporter this week. We mm-hmm. have Donna Madden, and she chose the heart as her emoji. So
thank you, Donna.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Thank you guys for supporting. We say it every week, but we mean it every week mm-hmm. too. So
we know. Do. You are our most consistent supporters. We appreciate it.
And we appreciate it.
And you know, anybody who wants to, you know, become a supporter, they get access to the Slack channel and mm-hmm. the past supporter episodes. Mm-hmm. But if you're not able to support us through, you know, financially, then mm-hmm. we would love to have a review.
Yes.
Or for you to tell somebody. We always forget to mention that.
But yes, we do. But a review and telling people, that yeah. helps so much. But we do. We forget to ask for a review. So yeah. if you haven't left
us
a review.
This is our quarterly, maybe biannual ask mm-hmm. for a review.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with us and our mm-hmm. supporters.
Yeah.
So I guess we should get right into the topic. You ready?
Let's do.
Okay. So this part of this comes from a blog post I did a couple of years ago, and it was all about how I save money and the places that I splurge.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 5 or 6 ways that I save money, and we could just run through these kind of in a list because they're not earth shaking, right. but right. kind of a good reminder.
Mm-hmm.
So the first couple are, if I need a service or something, I check to see if there's a free plan
yeah.
because that way it lets me try it and see if I mm-hmm. like it. And then I don't mm-hmm. waste time signing up for something that isn't going to work. Like I tried Asana, mm-hmm. the free plan. I was like, whoa, this is like way more than I need
right.
for me as an author, mm-hmm. but Trello works great. And mm-hmm. both of those have free plans. And sometimes the free plan is all you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in the community, you know, especially if you're in groups or stuff, you hear people saying I have this, I love it, I can't live without it. And you're like, especially if you're newer, you're like, oh, I have to get that. Everything. I have to get it. Mm-hmm. And, you don't have to get it. You just, the free plan will work fine until mm-hmm. you decide until that is kind of my rule of thumb on everything. Mm-hmm. Free plan until that free plan's not working. And then I decide if I want something else. So,
yeah. And a lot of these apply to like software as service because mm-hmm. so many things now are software as service mm-hmm. and those recurring payments that can really add up. You don't realize it until you really mm-hmm. sit down and look at it. So, just use the free plan if that's all you need. That's one way to save money. Another way is I look for a one-time payment, like a lifetime deal, mm-hmm. or I would rather have that. And one mm-hmm. place to find that is AppSumo. They have a lot of great deals mm-hmm. Where you can pay once and you get the software forever and you don't have to pay again, which is a right. great deal. Another one-time great deal payment is Vellum, because yes. you pay once and then you can use the software and they upgrades are included and everything. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. yeah. I'm gonna give a little bit of counter to this. I love the fact that when I can paying a one time fee, because usually you get a mm-hmm. discount or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you're starting off, and as someone who started off without any extra yeah. money, you know, you don't have the $150. You know, or mm-hmm. let me do the math. $150.
Yeah. Hold on. It's let me easy. Get the calculator.
Yeah, exactly. It's live easier math, to do that little monthly strength. Pay, you know, that monthly payment yeah. than it is to come up yes. with a lump sum. Right. So that's okay too. And sometimes that can help you, because also if you have a reserve of money and that's all you have, then it's sometimes better to keep some of that cash mm-hmm. back in, you know, until you're making more money. So that's yeah. going to be my counter yeah, and that makes one time fee. Yeah.
Totally makes sense. And the yeah. thing about, like, if you can sometimes find deals on AppSumo that maybe it's not the premier mm-hmm. Software, but right. it's like a newer mm-hmm. version, and mm-hmm. they're trying to get clients. And so theirs will be marked down and right. you can get it fairly cheap and mm-hmm. it may do almost the same thing. So,
yeah.
but I
yeah.
totally get that you may not have the couple hundred dollars,
right?
Which that could be a big expense.
Yeah.
And then the third one is just, will it be on sale later? Waiting for a Black Friday, Cyber Monday deal may be worth it. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times there's annual promos for rider type things during mm-hmm. Nano, especially because yeah. Nano, you know, leads into that Black Friday, Cyber Monday time period. And you can get a lot of riding discounts then.
Yeah. So,
if you can wait, sometimes it's worth it to wait.
Right. It is. Y'all, I'm, you know, Tug's saying he prefers to spend all the money.
and he wants to comment too.
Yes, he does. I did this specifically when I was buying my computer. I waited mm-hmm. till Black Friday. I really needed a computer. I had one that was working, but it was slow. But I waited a few months to get till Black Friday because I knew there would yeah. be discounts, and there were.
Yeah.
So, or was it Cyber Monday? One of them. I don't know. But I got a discount on my computer. And so, that's kind of another thing, is just waiting. Like, mm-hmm. just
and
wait.
Find out that you don't need something that you
may not need it.
Probably need
a computer you need, but yeah, just wait. Yeah. Just wait and see. You don't have to have everything right now.
Yeah. And then the fourth one is, can I get a discount through an organization or group that I belong to? So mm-hmm. like Alliance of Independent Authors, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. different writers groups mm-hmm. that are out there for different genres, NINC, and also now a lot of classes and courses have discounts associated with them. So like if you sign up for so-and-so's course, mm-hmm. you may be able to get a code that will get you something percent off or uploads, you know, just different things. So mm-hmm. just check mm-hmm. around for that. And
also podcasts will give you a discount, you know, a lot of times if they have a guest on and stuff.
Yeah. And like Jamie gives a discount to listeners mm-hmm. for her branding.
Mm-hmm. Well, for all my consulting, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't forget about that. And then the last one I always try and look for is, do they have an annual plan? And mm-hmm. so, you know, you'll get a little bit of a price break. Like if you decide, okay, I really do need this software. Mm-hmm. There's no sales. I can't wait until Black Friday. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's smarter to sign up for the annual plan, but only if you have that and it's not going to make you cash strapped, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, because I got these mixed up, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of the same principle. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, those are ways that I've saved, you know, that I've saved money too, you know. I think that when I said wait, I mean, that's a big one. And I think we, really, I mean, if, especially if you're new and you're just like, you know, you're wanting to take the ads class or you're wanting to take this or what, just wait until you've gotten your book done before you put it out if you want to, but you can wait until after. Like, nothing is crucial except writing the book and getting it done.
Yeah, that's crucial. That's the point you're at. Finish the book. Definitely finish the book. Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So I have some ideas for how to come up with extra money.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants extra money.
I am the queen of the side hustle.
let's talk side hustles.
Yeah.
That are not, you know, like digging in the couch for change and stuff like that.
Well, I've done that too. so, you know, the biggest one that everybody knows about is that I sell plasma to pay for my edits. Now, there are a lot of people in different countries that will say, we can't sell plasma. Well, I'm sorry. You know, I hate that because... honestly, it's pretty good money for, I mean, it just, it's just your time, you know, it takes some time, because you usually have to go and sit, but I paid for edits and not just copy edits. Like, I paid for some other things too. And I sold plasma for probably 3 months and I went twice a week. And so, you know, I mean, was it fun? No. I mean, it, not necessarily. Did it kill me? No. I got a lot, I met a lot of interesting people. And so, especially if you have a place that's convenient to you and you're not, even though I did, I drove quite, you know, out of my way to do it because there weren't that many places at the time. But it was, it was a good place for me to do it. And it required nothing from me except my time. My time. That was it.
And see, not everybody's going to be able to do that.
No.
But health, I think it's
medication, it's
like,
whatever.
Yeah. It's a creative way. You're thinking outside the box. And like, I don't know, I would have ever thought of that.
I had kids in college and they were doing it.
Okay. So there you go. So check with other people to see what they're doing. To
I probably wouldn't have thought of it either. But my kids were doing it because they had heard about it from their friends, you know? And I was like, well, dang,
I could do that too, right?
I can do that too. And, so that there's that, you can pick up like a pet sitting job, pet walking job, especially if you walk every day and you've got some neighbors that, kind of are elderly, but have pets. I mean, you're going out anyway. You know, there's all kinds of things online, transcription and, all of that, that you can do those side hustles that you see. I wouldn't do anything that's going to require just like a ton of time. You probably already got a full-time job. Plus you're trying to write. You don't want something else, but, I did that. I stopped eating out during the week. Or really anytime, especially by myself, you know, or me with friends. If we went out, it was Chris and myself. And so, yeah, you just stop eating out and you put that money towards your book fund. Drink your coffee at home.
Yeah. So I was going to say coffee.
Don't buy your coffee. That's $5.50 a day if you get a venti latte. I know. you know, and that adds up. I mean, here's, you know, the thing is that I hate it when people say, I can't afford this or I can't afford that. Because one, I completely understand. Like, I'm telling y'all, I've said it before. We had not two extra dimes to rub together because my kids were in, I had two kids in college and I was paying for a wedding. I mean, it was really tight for us.
On the budget.
And I was fortunate that I wasn't even paying that much for the wedding. I mean, you know, I mean, but it was, we were on a tight budget. Everything was allocated. So I could not spend outside of what we had already allocated, even though I did that first month on ads and then had to go to my husband and tell him. But
it all worked out.
I had quadrupled my money. I don't know. And he was like, I think that's okay. But yeah, so I just feel like it's about your thinking. If you go down that spiral of, I can't afford this, I can't do this, I can't get a good cover because I can't afford one, all of those things, it just creates a mindset that it's really hard to get out of. Mm-hmm. And I just decided that I was going to do what I had to do to make it happen, sure to walk in the street. And, you know, hey,
that line is blurry, huh?
Line's real blurry. But anyway.
Well, I just think it's all the mindset thing.
It is the mindset thing.
Because if you sit down and you look at, if you think about what are my skills that I have already, mm-hmm. what can I make money doing right now? There may be something that maybe you don't enjoy it, but you could do it for 3 months so that you could pay.
Yeah, it's not forever. It's just to get you through this period of time to either get your book to production, or if you've already got books out, but they're not making a lot of money and you're like, I really want to give this one a good chance, then you just do it for this period of time till you get this book out and see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have skills that you can barter for things, that's so great. Like, I don't feel like I have those skills. So that wasn't something for me. You know, what am I going to do? Tell somebody I'll do their social media or I'll do their editing if they do my cover. Like, people would laugh me out of the...
Yeah. You know, that's just experience in what you want to do.
But if you have that experience, and there are a ton of people who do, then, you know, that is certainly something that you can do is barter. And there are a lot of people that would be open to that.
And there's a lot of authors that maybe they don't have, that they would be, maybe they have the skills to help you edit something or copy edit or proofread. And they'd be willing to trade for something that you could like help them with. Maybe I've heard people doing VA stuff for other authors, you know, to as a kind of part-time gig. Another one that I thought of is podcast editing. And you have to have some skills in this, and you have to have some software, although Audacity is free. But you just have to know how to do it. And then there would be some time where you would have to get some clients. But that can have a pretty good return for your time.
It can.
So, you know, you just have to think about, do I have the,
what the resources? Bandwidth, the mental bandwidth to do it. I mean, and what skills do I have? I mean, I took on the PA job and that was before the book came out too. I didn't really feel completely capable of doing that. But I knew I was capable of learning. So, the person was willing to teach me. So it really kind of worked out.
And then you're gaining experience in the field that you want to be in.
Doing things that I'm going to hopefully be doing in the future anyway. Those are some ideas of how to generate some income.
I think they're great. Great ideas. Okay. Mm-hmm. So should we talk about... where we're willing to spend a little bit more money, maybe not be quite so conservative in our spending. Yeah. And like for me, the number one thing was my mailing list provider, because that is a big expense normally.
Yeah.
That's one of my, you know, like the annual fees, that's one of the higher ones.
Yeah.
But I switched from MailChimp to ConvertKit because ConvertKit just did everything I wanted it to do. And even though it was more expensive, it gave me peace of mind because I felt like when I had questions, they were much more willing to help me out and work with me. They're just nicer. They're just nicer people.
Are they?
Then whenever I had questions with MailChimp, I felt like I was like, defending myself. Like, I'm not a scammer. You know, like I feel like there's a different mindset with certain companies and different. And like MailChimp had a free plan. ConvertKit at that time did not. You were paying and you got the customer service for it. So so that's something that I'm willing to pay a little bit more money for because it's so essential. You know, you need a mailing list. So So that's one of mine. And then another one is cover. I feel like I'm going to spend a little bit more on the cover if I need to. So mailing list provider, cover. I put down editing because for me, that's important. Some people, that's not as important to them. Mm-hmm. But with my readers and my personality, I don't like mistakes. I want to get rid of as possible. And then I also have down virtual assistant because that helps me. Like, I didn't have a virtual assistant when I first started. And it was, I was pretty far along in my career before I could afford one. But once I had somebody to help me take off some of the admin stuff, then I could do more creative stuff.
Right.
And have more time for that.
Right.
And then I also had the peace of mind of, oh, I'm not the only person uploading the podcast. So if, you know, I'm sick or something happens, it doesn't all fall. We have backup.
Yeah.
And now I would be like, ah, I can't remember how to upload the podcast. So I would need help with that.
Thank you, Adrian.
So, and then I put down ads. I know some authors who feel that like a BookBub ad, I'm talking more like, not
paid newsletters,
like BookBub and stuff like that. I know some people who feel that that's just too expensive, that's just too much money to spend, and I'm like, but the return on it has always been good for me, so I will pay that,
right?
Hoping for that future return, I'll make that investment hoping for that return of readers, and then I put down equipment. I have a really nice keyboard. I felt kind of guilty when I bought it because it's pretty expensive. And it's one that, you know, it's like divided and you don't have to, it helps your wrist and stuff. And I'm so glad I got it. I love it. And it's lasted for years. So if I can find something that's good quality, you know, that I need, I'll go ahead and pay for it.
Did you have to learn new key placement?
Yes.
And I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was a pain. It was like the worst week of my life, in my writing life, because the return and the enter were in slightly different places. And I think one of the, I can't remember which one it was, but it was like, you know how sometimes you'll end, I'll end something with a smiley face, you know, the shortcut. And oh, the parentheses key was in a different place. And it kept coming up like a frowny face. And I was like, oh. Another frowny face. Not what I meant. So, but I did learn it. And I just told myself, I have learned things. And it's like, you just have to retrain the way you do things.
Yeah.
So I made myself do it for a week. And then after that, I was okay.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice. Nobody else uses my keyboard.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Especially well, the office or something. That might be.
Excuse me. I agree. My list is pretty similar to yours in that mailing list provider. However, when I did start, I started with MailChimp because they had the free plan.
I did too.
But I never got the free plan because I had over 1,000 followers from the beginning.
You were such an anomaly from the very beginning.
So that stinks. But I have switched. But honestly, now, except for Flowdesk, they're all pretty pricey. But Flowdesk is a good option if you're just starting. But they don't have automations, I don't believe. That's my only...
It's been a while since I looked into them, so I'm not sure.
You'll have to look into that. I'll get back to you on that because I did not look at that. But I'm pretty sure they don't. But they're still a good option for sending out an email. And then you can add your automations later if, you know, if you're making more money. So that's a way.
You can do, like, I think you can use some of the Zapier stuff to do things with that as well.
Covers. I mean, I just would not scrimp on covers. I mean, I was fortunate when I started that my covers were affordable. I mean, I could afford them, but that was because I was working for the PA and I was only having to do one cover at a time. But I mean, working as a PA, but I just redid these covers. And I will say I did shop around a little bit because, and I didn't go to my normal person, even though I love her, but she's more expensive. And this girl, I had seen her covers and they're really good. this girl, her name's Carrie March. Carrie March's covers were really great, but they were a little bit less. And for me, where I'm at, plus I'm recovering, it's not a brand new cover. I just felt like it was a good option for me. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay to shop around. Like, it's okay to do that and to find something that really fits your budget a little bit better than something else. Mm-hmm. So, but I would not have gone to, like, I wouldn't have gone to Fiverr or a place like that, even though I have a cover from Fiverr on the book I released with my friend. And it's a great cover. I just, you know, I wouldn't do that for like a whole series or anything like that. Editing would not scrimp. I cannot afford to scrimp on editing. And in fact, I do probably a little more than a lot of people because I feel like I just need that.
I think if it gives you peace of mind, it's worth it, right?
It's really the peace of mind. Yeah, it really is the peace of mind. And just a little bit of affirmation, you know, like I do a story edit. And I really just need that affirmation that what I'm doing is in the right direction, you know. And so you might not need that, and that's okay. And, you know, but if you do need it. I did shop around on that too, though, and had to find somebody that I felt like really matched me and did a good job. But I'm not going to go like they're really good editors on services, and they're fantastic. I know they are because I know people that have used them, but you know that just doesn't fit my budget. But you don't have to spend the very most to get get good quality editing.
Right. Yeah.
And so, but then that puts the legwork on you. You've got to find those people and you have to do your homework. And it did. It took me a while to find my editor. I mean, to know she was the one I wanted to go with. Mm-hmm. Like I found her fairly quickly, but then I had to check around just to make sure because I don't want to make a mistake. I didn't want to make a mistake, you know, and stuff, even though I know now there are very few mistakes.
Yeah. It's a big investment and you can recover from it, but it just might take longer.
Right. Virtual assistant. I don't have one full time. I use one on a project by project basis. And I only started that a few years ago. So for me, that was it's not worth a full-time splurge, but it is worth it for me on a project to have somebody help me get stuff done. I definitely paid newsletters. I mean, back in the day, I would have paid for a BookBub in a heartbeat. Now, I don't know, because for romance, I've just heard that the return isn't as great as it was. But for any of the other paid newsletters that are less expensive, I would definitely make that a priority in my marketing because they work. They just work. And so, and the cost is not such that it will break the bank. If you plan, you know, and then equipment. My equipment, like my computer, I got a Mac and, I wanted a Mac and, so I splurged on that and would do it again. I love that. First of all, I love that I can run Vellum. I just love it. I love how everything's connected and, I've learned how to use it now and I don't want to learn how to use anything else. So there you go. And then the other thing is conferences, but selectively, I will splurge on a conference or take some money that, you know, I've earned or whatever and put it back towards a conference because I just feel like it's investing in my business. It's investing in the networking that I think is so important and stuff like that. So those are the things.
I agree with that too, because I think when you meet somebody in person, no matter how many Zoom calls you've done or how many times you've emailed, when you meet them in person, it's just different. You have a different connection. And that's a great way to find out if you want to work with somebody more or not. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, I would agree with that, especially if you can find some that are close to you. If they're in driving distance, you can save so much money by not having to fly and share a room. And, you know, there's ways to do a conference that's, you know, fairly economical.
Right. And,
oh, I was just going to say on the, like when you're starting out versus later on, like when I started out, I was traditionally published and I was doing writing mostly because I loved it and I hoped that it would pay off later. And so, and that really didn't happen until I started indie publishing when I started actually making money to pay for things. So if you have a spouse that's supportive and you can just do this kind of as your long time side hustle, I think that's the mind frame I had was like, I'm not going to make money from this.
Yeah.
Probably for years, if ever. And I just did it hoping that I would get to that point someday. Yeah. So, you know, once you can kind of see some income coming in, then you can do some of these other maybe splurges. But at the beginning, you're just bare bones and, you know, and that's
bootstrapping it.
Most of us, you know, most of us don't have a huge funding backing us when we start this.
Not at all.
It's one of the few careers that you can start at your kitchen table.
And end virtually up with nothing.
Money, which is amazing.
I know. Well, and vellum is another splurge for me that I chose to do. And here's something else. If you have a Mac and if you get vellum, you could make money by formatting other people's books for them because people don't want to do it. They don't want to do it.
It takes time.
It takes time.
Like with all these people doing translations now, that is like a kind of upskill.
Yeah.
That for me, it's worth it to have somebody else do it and go through and make sure the formatting is all correct. Even though it's easy in vellum, they have all the languages mostly that, you know, you would want in there. It's just easier for me to hand that off to somebody else. So
yeah,
that is a good tip.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have, I saw this blog from Readsy, another Readsy blog. And I just wanted to run through a couple of their tips because they were different from what Jamie and I were thinking of. And I just thought there were another, some good ways to save money. So the first one was scout for talented but newer professionals. And that's sort of what you were talking about is that there are people that they just haven't built up their client list yet. And they may not be as expensive. And you just have to take some time to find them.
The second one is self-edit extensively before hiring an editor. I do that for all the good it does me, but I pro writing aid or Grammarly, those are services that you might, that might work better for you because it, you know, they can cut down on the amount of editing your editor has.
You get
to
it in as good a shape as you possibly can before you send it off, and hopefully it saves you money in the long run.
Hope for the best.
And let's see. Number three was combine services where possible. So this is just a quote from the article. Many publishing professionals are specialists in a number of skills and niches. Some are happy to bundle together a few services and offer them for less than if you would pay if you hired two separate people. So potential combinations to look for include cover designers who also handle interior formatting, copy editors who also proofread, translators who will also write your sales page metadata. So that's a quote from that article. I think those are some good.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
The only one I would be cautious on is a copy editor who also proofreads. I think sometimes it's good to have two different people.
I do too.
Two different sets of eyes.
Yeah. I agree with that. The next one that they have is request a cover design based on stock imagery. And then their quote is, this one may be hard to hear, but if you really want to cut design costs, go with a cover that utilizes stock imagery rather than a bespoke illustration, which can get quite expensive. The trick is to find a designer who can take a visual asset from a Shutterstock and make it look classy and professional. And they have an example here, and it's really amazing. They took a stock image from a Pixiv. Pixun Feng's book, Ghost Forest, and it's amazing.
Yeah, we will link to this article if y'all want to go look at it, because it's really hard to talk about visual things on a podcast. But I think that they're saying that if you have somebody who's talented to use stock art, whereas and make it interesting and beautiful and eye-catching, you just have to maybe search a little bit more instead of doing a custom illustration.
Correct. Or a custom photograph, like
like a
romance,
where would they do like a whole photo shoot, right?
Najla, who did my bride's cover, she's done all my covers up to this point. She two of the guys on the cover, she completely changed that image. She flipped it. She added a guitar. She put on. She added a sheriff like shirt and hat on one of them. It wasn't a sheriff, you know, in the picture. So that is a really, really great talent. And some designers don't have it and some do, you know. And then I would just add to this whole cover discussion is pre-made covers. You know, look for pre-made covers that you know, sometimes they'll even have pre-made covers in a series or something like that. And you can work with the designer and maybe they'll make some modifications for a lesser price than getting a brand new cover made. So, you know, ask the question. Don't be afraid to look stupid. You're emailing anyway. Yeah. Like, who cares? Just
all
ask
they can
the
do
question.
Is say no, right?
All they can do is say no.
Yeah.
Not personal.
I would also add, if you write in a series, you may want to start out doing just one cover and then say, create a cover for me that can very easily be made into different variations. Like maybe it's color choice or like if it's an object cover, maybe you change that single object every time.
Yeah.
And then it isn't as expensive, right?
Yes, yes.
So you can save money that way in the long run for your covers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we'll link to that article because that's got some good tips on cover. And another thing I learned when I was doing the Kickstarter is like if you say, this is my budget, and they say, well, this is going to cost this, I learned you can say, well, is there a way you can do this that would make it fit within my budget? How can we modify this? And most people will work with you and say, well, instead of doing this full illustration, let's do a line drawing or something. That may not work for your cover, but they might have suggestions that I wouldn't know about.
Exactly, because I do not understand graphic design, not even in the least.
Me either.
But also, like, if you're, I can't remember what I was going to say. It was something about the covers.
Was it about the covers? One like similar covers?
Oh yeah. Well, what you were saying about switching just switching out the color on each cover. You know, if you're writing thriller or something like that, that may be a great idea. You know, and if you go in telling them like, listen, my budget is not great, but I love your covers and I would love to have one. What can we do? Can we meet in the middle? They may say no, not at all, but they may not. So also the whole combining things, that this is a good place, you know, if just to say, well, could you do this and this for this amount, you know, and bundling.
And you may say, you know, if you talk to cover artists, you may say, can you also do 3 ad images because they have everything right there.
Yeah.
And it may just be cheaper than to do it, hire somebody else to do it or to try and do it yourself. It may actually save you time to have them create them maybe with no text, just the image or maybe one line and leave space for you to add in, you know, 99 cents or whatever. You know, you can modify it later.
Yeah.
So. All right. And then there was one more tip, grow your following before you publish. This was from Reedsy saying, you know, if you have a following of people mm-hmm. when you launch, it will be easier. Mm-hmm. I think this one is like a advanced maneuver. It's yeah. you have to take some of those strategies like we've talked yeah. about before, where you maybe have a reader magnet mm-hmm. and you develop people who are interested in you and ready for your book when yeah. it comes out. Yeah. It's a little bit harder to do.
It's harder to do, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. And it can be done with very little money and experience because I did it. Mm-hmm. So you yes, can
go back
do
and
it.
Listen to our launching podcast, right? I think we talked about launching a long time ago.
Long time ago. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to know all the things about all the things to do this. You just have to know about a few things and mm-hmm. then work that plan because it can be done. It can still yeah. be done. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe like you write your book, you finish it, you get it edited to get the cover. And then you go into, you know, how can I mm-hmm. launch this book? Mm-hmm. And as you're doing all that, growing your readership is not your main focus, mm-hmm. but maybe you do have a short story you're giving away mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. that yeah. can yeah. pull people in, but it's not your main focus because right. that's so easy to get sidetracked into mm-hmm. building your newsletter when
it is.
You don't have your book. So
yeah, it is.
It's a juggling too.
It is. Yeah. It's all a juggling act. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think these are great suggestions.
Yeah. So something for y'all to think about. So mm-hmm. hopefully it'll help somebody. Give us some new ideas or possibilities.
Yeah. And if you have any questions about these or any suggestions, mm-hmm. put them in the Facebook group or the yeah. Slack group. We'd love to see them because I'm still looking for ways to save
money. We all want to save money, right? We're always looking for a good deal.
Yep.
I'm a bargain shopper. I yep. want to know. All right. So the links for all this will be in the show notes, and those will be at wishidknownthenpodcast.com. And thanks to Alexa Larberg for editing and producing the podcast, and to Adriel Wiggins for doing the admin. See everybody next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. We hope this episode inspired you, empowered you, and made you laugh a little bit too. If you loved it, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. We look forward to being with you again next week.